Unlocked Art and Experiences Inside Virginia's Prisons, Volume 5. Poem POW, written and recited by Joshua Nonathan Jonate. Unlocked Art and Experiences Inside Virginia's Prisons, Volume 5. Poem POW, written and recited by Joshua Jonathan Hairston, the Humanization Project's Advocate Inside.
In the early days, a year or two before it was declared a major war, I remember, at times I envisaged fragmented memories of families happily coexisting. My neighbors were friendly. The neighborhood was a village. The future was the brightest back when parents breathed in the promise of children. That was before I became a prisoner of war, the war on drugs. Reagan's administration, a warlike regime, invested billions in his war machine. Overnight, from precinct to fort, a show of arms, a force of arms deployed, underprivileged, over-patrolled, we were unprepared for a war. An all-out attack dispatched through my kinship, extracting us children, attaching at risk, categorized the link with created status of fifth, our initiation into the system. Crack babies, super predators, we were earmarked for prison. I am a prisoner of war, the war on drugs. The new Democrat, a warlike regime, supercharged its war machine. Mandatory minimum sentences, irrational deductions, steeped in corruption, coerced cooperation, nefarious operations, crimes of war in times of war, no concern for the charm of Geneva. I know a woman when she was younger suspected of concealing her partner's evils. She questioned at some point, questioned at gunpoint, practiced generally regarded illegal. Save her the blame, I won't say her name. Unwillingly, she took part in an agreement, quelled her grievances, expecting lenience. Relief sought, peace talks commenced with the cease of threats, physically and emotionally distressed, unable to bear the thought of them taking her son. She gave an account, they made up one. 23 years later, signed an affidavit. She retracted her statement. A prisoner of war. The war on drugs. Reagan's administration, a warlike regime, invested billions in his war machine. Affordable housing portrayed as drug zones. Tactical teams frequently raided our homes. Invaded our home, hoping legal wrath. What could I have done to hold them back? Did not stop, Kristallnacht, night of broken glass, until they found what resembled powdered soap in bags. Evidence, along with their fold of cash, confiscated. My guess is, Uncle owed them that. Cracked my family to pieces, drove us homeless, displaced our belongings, our sense of belonging, left my childhood soaked in gas, then stood over my adolescence with a glowing match. The new Democrat, a warlike regime, supercharged its war machine. An inner city cleanse, an inner city kid. I witnessed my neighborhood spin itself undead. Geographical disaster. Half my life I've spent eluding capture, the other half in shackles. An African-American boy harboring anti-American sentiments. Nothing can be more natural. I am a prisoner of war. The war on drugs. His sister, she appeared to be the only one on his side. The only one caring if he survived. 1,000-yard stare in his eyes. In prison, I was told it's where he lost his mind. His spirit forever will be institutionalized. My uncle spent 23 years behind enemy lines. a prisoner of war, the war on drugs. Crack kept her for weeks, guarded her from sleep. Insomnia brought her some ease, offered her reprieve. Too hard for her to sleep, scarred by what she seen. The sound of her baby scream, she hears in every baby scream. Light jumping off his badge, the scent of cigarette smoke. Glimmer of gold, hints of shaving cream. Not the same feelings of hope are inspired by the sight of police. Bloodied hands wring her clean, spring her to increase. A wrinkle in time, her nightmare relived, her night terrors released. PTSD. The disorder haunting the original traumatization. Assault rifles pointed in all of our faces. Taken hostage, the unconscious replaying stasis. My mother was a woman with co-occurring disorders. An indomitable combination. A prisoner of war. War on drugs. I swear by the partnership for a drug-free America, drug policies, politics, cocaine capitalists, profiteers, exploited our weakened immunity, destroyed our grieving communities. The most vulnerable demographic, neighbors turned combatants, adjacent city blocks into factions. A rebel force ready for tour, a warmonger. The NRA celebrates the prospect of war. Every side intertwined finds its support. Fratricide, enemies of each other, brotherly no more. The war, I remember. At times I am visited. Memories of families happily coexisting. My neighborhood was a village. Parents cultivated the promise of children. We were encouraged to be friendly. The future was brilliant. Just a year or two before, we were made prisoners of war.
Every time I hear that, Joshua, I am floored by what an incredible story you have told. The emotions that it conjures up, the imagery. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you for putting your heart out there. And I think as we do this interview following up, I think myself and anybody who's listening, one of the first things we would want to know is this a story that you're telling from the first person?
Absolutely. How else would I be able to tell a story like that? Absolutely.
So you felt this, the pressures of this growing up in your community, this war, this sense of being targeted, being, you know, earmarked for the system. You felt this growing up?
Absolutely. I felt it. And I knew about it. What I didn't know is that it was an organized, government-funded attack. I didn't know that. I seen that, but I didn't know that our leaders got in rooms or, had conferences on how to attack our communities. And they literally said that it was a war on drugs, but the human impact of war, which we often ignore with so many wars or our truculent-like existence on this planet. It's real. I mean, there are real casualties to this war on drugs. Why not a fight for sobriety? Why not a community collaboration for healthier communities? Why a war on drugs? why that terminology? Why that idea? Why that spirit?
Yeah. Yeah. Why would we wage war in our own communities? There was this one line that I just really want to. There's many, but there was one that just really was quite evocative for me. Left my childhood soaked in gas, then stood over my adolescence holding a glowing match. It feels like you're reflecting on a path that finds you here, writing this incredible work from this perspective of being a POW. It also then, the other piece of this that I find is particularly thought-provoking and emotionally interesting, like evocative also, is the notion of retracting one's statement. Will you elaborate a little bit on the what that it involved, and because I think the it reflects, at least to me, the idea that our perceptions of this have changed, yet we can't do anything about it. But what were you getting at with that experience?
If you look a stanza down, when I say retracted a statement, 23 years later, retracted a statement. Another stanza down, perhaps two stanzas down, I also say my uncle spent 23 years behind enemy lines. And so the connection is that a mother and a sister were selling drugs, right? Or, selling drugs in the community to provide for themselves. Now, we're talking about impoverished people. We're not talking about wealthy people bringing truckloads of drugs in and rolling in the dough in mansions. We're talking about really, really poor people who are scrambling to make ends meet while suffering from addiction themselves, right? So the threat sequestered at some point, questioned at gunpoint. Okay, we're talking about an interrogation, right, that is not ethical, that produces a statement, right, that is false, and the threat of her children being taken, right, and so she acquiesced, she makes a statement, a false one, that gets her brother, this man, incarcerated for 23 years, right? While supporting him throughout that incarceration, his sister appears to be the only one on his side, right? She's the only one on his side because of the guilt. Not only the guilt, I mean, of course, the sibling nature between them, but the guilt of having placed him behind enemy lines and then retracted a statement trying to get him out once she believes that her children are safe, even though her children end up system impacted. Draw this out too much, but my childhood soaked in gas. I then stood over my adolescence with the glowing match. I was going into court, and we talk about dual system youth. I was going into court before I was 5 or 6 years old. I had already been in court. I had already became familiar with the cadence or the order of operations when it comes to going into a courtroom, right? I was accustomed to that as a child. And so all of these adverse childhood experiences, right, that I was going through, right, prepared me in my adolescence. There was already a documentation of my at-risk youth or problematic childhood, right, that delivered me into the courts. Not saying I didn't play a part, right, but to say that there was not a systematic attack and approach, right, that allowed my delivery, I guess, to be streamlined.
Yeah. Yeah.
It ain't simple. It's just to ignore obvious reality.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, and I'm so sorry just to experience that, and then it's also so inspiring to have you, your mind and your perspective be in a place where you've connected all of this with accountability, but also with recognition, and I admire that. I want to, while we still have a few minutes, I want to bring it back to kind of the artistic side of this. So you find yourself a POW and you write this beautiful and recite this beautiful piece with all this heart that's going to teach so many people and also reach so many people's hearts. What is the, for you, the reason that you write when you are in this position? How does the writing, what does it do for you?
Well, I had this concept that I had come up with probably nearly half a decade now, or closer to a decade, called Therapy Tree, right? And it really comprises this idea of therapy and poetry, but creative writing being therapeutic. That there are therapeutic elements of, you know, creative writing. To pour my life experiences, right, in a connected format, to replay those instances and process the pain in them, it's not only revelational, but it's healing, right? It allows me a new opportunity to grow and evolve from a place of vulnerability, from a place of, I guess, shame, into my own humanness, my own expression of, hey, I'm a human being. Yeah, I made some mistakes, but, you know, hey, we all did. How do we regroup? How do we respond? How do we pool our resources and make this world a better place? How do we, I guess...
You have 1 minute remaining.
Cooperate, you know, or collaborate, I'm sorry, collaborate to get this done. So, yeah, that's what it does to me. It's therapeutic.
Yeah. It really can be. I had a similar experience. Well, thank you, Joshua. We appreciate your time and so much your voice and your sharing of that voice with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.